The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Mrs. Palmore. You know, God has blessed Mrs. Palmore in a wonderful way. She writes a lot of the music that we use for our conferences, our theme songs and stuff like that. And so I think it's neat how God has enabled her to be able to do some really neat and special things in her life as she serves the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12, the Bible says, "If others be partakers of this power over you," it says, "are not we rather?" It says, "nevertheless, we have not used this power, but rather," it says, "but suffer," it says, "all things, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ." And I did a word study the other night as I was in preparation for this message, and I did a word study on the word nevertheless, nevertheless. So I want to preach to you this morning on nevertheless is better than never. Nevertheless is better than never. You know, sometimes when you think about the phrase or the word, if you will, nevertheless, sometimes we think that here's a person that's considering not doing something, but nevertheless, they do it anyway. And it would be far better for you as a believer to decide, well, I don't know if I want to do something in obeying Christ, and to decide to do it anyway than to never obey Christ. It would be far better to be somebody that was a little bit hesitant on obeying God and obey God anyway than for somebody that is a little bit hesitant on obeying God and yet decide not to obey God. So I want to submit to you a thought this morning on nevertheless is better than never. Watch, let me show you just a couple of places where it's mentioned in your Bible. Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. We're going to use our Bibles a little bit this morning and to be able to see these truths that would help us. And by the way, it's really neat how God places these different places where this word nevertheless is used. But now watch, in every single one of these places that God Himself, by way of the Holy Spirit of God, giving us that word nevertheless, it's used in different types of situations. And so you're going to get to see how this word is used in different types of situations to help us to understand that it is always better to consider that as a nevertheless, but yet still do what God's will is for our life. Watch this, if you will. We're in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, where the Bible says, and he went a little farther, the Bible says, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, he says, if it be possible that let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, now watch what it says, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And so our Lord Jesus Christ used this word, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And can I tell you, sometimes the will of God may find you in a difficult place. Sometimes the will of God may be in an area of your life where you say, I don't know whether I should go all the way with this or not, but can I tell you, to do the will of God is the greatest thing you could ever do. Harry S. Ironside said, to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge, and to do the will of God is the greatest accomplishment. And so as we set out to know the will of God, and yes, as we decide after coming to the knowledge of the will of God to step out and to perform that which is the will of God, you will be better for that. Can I say your relatives will be better for that? Can I say your friends will be better for that? Can I say those that are associated with you loosely, yet not close enough to be able to call themselves your friends, they will be better off for that when you step out to be submissive to the total will of God in your life. The Bible says in Mark chapter 14 and in verse 36, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And so we understand that here our Lord Jesus Christ is now coming to a place where he says, God, I am willing to do whatever you want me to do. And may I say, that ought to set the premise for you and I as believers in Christ to also say the same thing. God, whatever you want me to do in my life, that's what I would be willing to do. Can I tell you this morning, I believe if more Christians would allow that verse as being that verse that sets the premise for what you will do and what you will not do in your life to be that which is the guidepost in your individual life. As the Lord did, so ought we to do. Whatever the will of God is, we ought to decide that we're going to step forward and we're going to accomplish the will of God, whatever the will of God may be. Now, sometimes God will not necessarily show you all of the will of God in one setting. You know, as a parent that has four grown children, my wife and I have often found it more wise than not necessarily to give the whole bottle of medicine at the same time. But we give just incrementally what is instructed to us to be able to give our children. And so do we find that wellness follows that because we followed the instructions. And can I tell you, in the Word of God, you find that which is your instruction manual. And we're able to follow that which is the instruction manual to be able to know not just what the full truth is, but how to be able to give that truth in such a way that it doesn't overwhelm a person, or in such a way, if you would please, that a person can be able to grasp it, understand it, and our Lord Jesus Christ practiced that himself. And so can I say, statement number one, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. There was a young pastor many years ago, and he really wanted to attend a pastor's conference. And so he began to talk to his wife, and they began to look at their budget. And as they begin to look at the budget, they begin to understand there's no way under heaven that this is going to happen. And so the pastor, being somebody that knew what it was to walk with God, knew what it was to pray, knew what it was to trust God for many things in his life, he turned to his wife and said, honey, why don't we kneel right here and let's pray and ask the Lord if he would like for us to be able to enjoy this pastor's conference, that he would send the money. And as soon as they begin to pray and they uttered out the words about sending the money, the phone rang. He got up and he went over and he answered the phone, and there was a nearby friend that was a neighborhood friend that said, you know, I don't know why. He said, but I couldn't sleep all last night. And he said, I don't understand all this. He said, but as I was talking to my wife, those thoughts came back to me again that I just really need to come over and see you because I've got something I want to give you. And he said, I just can't get over it. He said, I know God's wanted me to do this for weeks and I've held back, but I've got to come see you right now. And he said, would it be okay? And so the pastor said, sure, you come over and see me, that'd be fine. And the man came over and he said, I don't know why God's placed this number on my heart, but God wants me to give you these funds. And so he gave him the funds, and as he gave him the funds, it was the exact amount that was needed for the pastor's conference. Now, can I say, there is no mistakes with God. God knows exactly what you need, and God knows exactly. Now, the Bible talks about how God will use men, yes, to be able to give into your bosom. And can I tell you, God is not foreign to you when it comes to you having personal needs in your life. Sometimes I think that we look back at the preachers of old, and we begin to think that it's only the preachers of old that could be able to get answered to prayer and be able to see God do marvelous things. And it's only those people that were great saints of God that God could be able to bless and God could be able to work through. But can I tell you, God is rich unto all them that call upon him. It doesn't matter who you are today, and it doesn't matter what your background is today. I'm telling you that there is a time in your life when you need to understand that the will of God, that's the most important thing. Whatever the will of God is, whether it is great or in your own sight, significantly small, take all things to God. We taught our children when they were coming up that whenever they get a boo-boo, that they're supposed to run to us with their boo-boo. Now, wait a minute. We had no healing power to be able to create that which is an immediate cover-up of the boo-boo where the flesh would now, through the white corpuscles or the white cells, to go speedily, more so faster than what was normal in God's regulatory way that he worked inside of a system. We had no power to be able to do it. But just praying with the child, can I tell you, the child felt better. Just because of the fact that we pointed them to the Lord, and by the way, he is the great physician. But just because of the fact that we prayed with them and we were able to carry things, you understand that your children watch you in every waking hour and you're giving them a doctrinal lesson on how to behave and how to walk and how to speak and where to go. And when you become under pressure and it just seems like that your will is contrary in your own life, contrary to maybe something that you yourself want to do, do you realize that it is always better for you to follow the will of the Father? Statement number one, we see, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Statement number two, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. This is really neat. Look at Luke chapter 5 and look at verse 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. Here's the story that Simon is fishing all night long. The Bible says he toiled all night. Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. He toiled all night, and the Bible says, and have taken nothing. So here he is, he's toiling all night long, and he's taken nothing whatsoever. Now watch the next phrase here in Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now if you'll proceed upward, you'll find that our Lord Jesus tells him to let down the nets, plural. And Simon comes back and Simon says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net, singular. Now, can I tell you, because he let down the net singular and not the nets as instructed by our Lord plural, you see that the net begins to break because God was going to send him the blessing that would fill the nets. But because of his disobedience to the Lord and not fulfilling all that the Lord said to do, and he in his lack of faith ventured out only to let down the net, the blessing was still coming, but it was going to overwhelm the net because he not let down the nets. Therefore, he lost blessing because of not being completely obedient to the Lord. You know, as you and I decide as individuals that we're going to be completely obedient to the Lord, I don't understand it. I promise you, probably Simon did not understand it all either because he gave the excuse. Lord, I have fished all night, and he was an excellent fisherman. Lord, I've fished all night, and I've caught nothing. But it's different when you try to do things in your flesh and when you try to do something in obedience to God. You can try something and try something and try something, dear friend, all the days of your life, and without God be a failure. But once God gets involved, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Once God gets involved, can I tell you, God is the one that can make it work out. You say, well, I tell you what, preacher, I've tried this and I've tried this and I've tried this and it's failed and it's failed and it's failed. But can I submit to you, you get God involved and you may try it the same way. And if you keep trying it the same way, can I tell you, with God involved, it can be a success. Why? Because God is the one that gives the success. Statement number one, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Statement number two, nevertheless, at thy word I will not let down the net. Statement number next, look at Acts chapter 14, look at verse 17. Acts chapter 14 and verse 17. Here you see, here's Paul and here's Barnabas, if you will, and this is a declaration that was made in Acts chapter 14 and verse 17. Nevertheless, it says, he left not himself without witness. It says, in that he did good, he gave us rain from heaven. And it says, fruitful seasons. It says here, filling our hearts, it says, with food and gladness. So what is being said here? Notice the phrase, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness. You sometimes, perhaps as I, will go out and you'll knock on a door. Maybe you'll give somebody a gospel tract. Maybe you'll share your testimony with someone. I was coming through McDonald's in Forney. I live in Forney, and my family and I built a house up there many years ago. And so we live in Forney, and I was coming in, and I decided to take 80. And as I was coming in, I decided to get off a couple of days ago to this McDonald's. And I wanted to grab a little bit of breakfast on the way into work. And so I got off at the McDonald's there beside the Walmart on 80. And I'm always passing out the gospel tracts. I'm always giving people tracts. And this young man was at the window, and I gave him a tract. And he said, "No, I'm not interested in that." Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. Somewhere along the line, something went wrong. He got hurt. He got wounded. Something happened. Now, you have to be careful, because hurts and wounds will come. You know, I know people that do not go to church today because somebody said something to them. I know people that do not go to church today because they got hurt and they got wounded in a church somewhere. Or I've heard people say this: "I'm never going to go to church again because church is full of hypocrites." Have you heard that? But can I tell you, Walmart is full of hypocrites too. But they still shop there. They find hypocrites at work, but they still go to work. You know, you can look for any reason under the sun not to serve Jesus Christ. You can find any excuse you want to. By the way, and I'm not being mean, I'm just kind of like being straight with the words I'm saying, and that is, normally the person that sees all the hypocrites has a problem with hypocrisy in one area or another in their own lives. Somebody said, "Well, I wish I could find the perfect church. I'll join it." When you do, you just ruined it. And by the way, you'll never find the perfect church. You know why? Because there's not a perfect person this side of heaven. So, man, I'll tell you what, I want to sit under that pastor because he's just perfect. You only see him now. You stay around anybody long enough, you're going to find out that they have imperfections. You were there as a teenager, you saying, "I know, because I have parents." But can I be honest with you? Your parents knew it long before you did because they have you. You know, it is important that we understand that the Bible teaches here that he said, nevertheless, he said, he's not left himself without witness. You know, when you walk out and you see the very things that God has created, it all points back to the heavenly Creator. God is the one that sends the rain, and God is the one that sends the snow, and God is the one that sends the sunshine, and God is the one that gives you the fresh air to breathe, and God is the one that allows you to be able to walk out there and feel the grass curling up in between your toes if you walk without shoes. And God is the one that is allowing you of the very, and just the fact of nature itself that God created. Don't bother you. All of a sudden, when the weatherman gets on there and he says, "Well, Mother Nature," I'm like, "Say God, say God, say God." I cannot tell you, watch this. Nevertheless, he says he left himself, it says not, he left not himself without witness. I love it when I go over to somebody and I told about that young man, but not long after that, I'd come to work and I'd finished out and I had some visits to make after I left the office, and I went to some people's houses, and can I tell you, we had a great, we were with the West the other night, Brother and Mrs. West, and what a wonderful time. I think we were there about 2 hours. I think we were going to pray in midnight, and you know, we stayed there for a while, and they didn't kick us out. We just enjoyed our fellowship together. Now, watch this, if you will, please, but there was something about gathering around the Word of God that just the time went by so quick, and it was just like it went by so quick that you didn't realize time went by. You know why? Because we were feasting on that which was the Word of God. And can I tell you that there is people that are witnesses, there are people that are soul winners, there are people that have bright testimonies for Christ everywhere. You know, when the O family moved here from California, Faith Baptist Church, and they moved up here and they transferred their membership as he works over in the hospital in the Sachse area or so, and they transferred. They said, you know, man, I tell you what, we were looking for a church like Faith, and can I tell you, I'm so glad that there are churches out there that are alike in their strength. They are alike in their purpose. They are like in their drive. Man, I'm so excited that we have a church that cares about people. I'm so excited we have a church that runs buses. Man, I'm so excited we have a church and we believe in soul winning and we believe in missions and we believe in separation from the world and we believe in old time religion. And I'm so excited when I see churches that are changing so ever much. I'm just so excited that we have a church that's not changing and we are going forward and we are accomplishing the things of God. And God is blessing. And can I tell you, when you stand beside the truth, God can bless. Statement number one, here's what we see. Nevertheless, it says, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Here's another nevertheless. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Here's another nevertheless. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness. Let me give you two more and I'm done. Statement number next. Nevertheless, God, now watch this. I love this. Comforteth, it says, those that are cast down. Look at it, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 6. The Bible says, nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are let down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. So there is sometimes, here Paul, of course, in Macedonia, Paul found himself troubled on every side. The Bible says that there was fightings without. The Bible talks about there was fears within. And now all of a sudden, we see that Titus is coming along. You know, God sends people in your life to encourage you. Many of you know Dr. Lee Robertson or have heard of the church many years ago when he pastored the Highland Park Baptist Church, Chattanooga, Tennessee. I used to attend the Southwide Baptist Fellowship meetings there many years ago when he was the president of the Southwide Baptist Fellowship. And what a great, great church it was. And in its day under his leadership, even a great college. But I remember hearing the story as Brother Robertson would share how he had a daughter by the name of Joy. And Joy died not too long after she was born. Now, can I tell you, his heart and Mrs. Robertson's heart were broken. But instead of being somebody that allowed the brokenness to turn to bitterness, they allowed the brokenness to turn to blessing. They went out and they purchased, the church followed their pastor, and they purchased some land, and that land they turned into a camp, and they called the name of the camp, Camp Joy. And thousands upon thousands of young people would go to the camp, and always free of charge, as the church members had a burden to reach young people with the gospel. And literally thousands of young people sat there and heard the gospel and bowed their hearts and received Jesus Christ as Savior, all because a person was comforted and encouraged by his church, and he decided to be able not to become bitter, but receive blessing. Now, in your life, when problems come, you can decide that, hey, I'm going to get angry over this, or I'm going to get bitter over this, or I'm going to get put out over this. I'm going to get upset over this. I'm going to be beside myself over this. I'm going to get even over this. I'm going to seek revenge over this. Or you could be somebody that decides, I'm just going to be a blessing. You can always be a blessing to someone if you try. Sometimes it's just a simple smile. Sometimes it's just a little note on a 3x5 card. Sometimes it's just a short text that you text somebody and say, I want you to know I'm praying for you today and I hope you have a good one. Sometimes it's just saying hi to somebody in a hallway that you've not seen in a long time. Sometimes it's just asking somebody to sit beside you because you always notice that they sit by themselves. Sometimes it's going up to somebody and shaking their hand with a gentle smile, because you realize that, yes, they are a visitor, and it might take that to help them to see that, yes, there is people that do care. Can I tell you, it's important for us to understand that nevertheless God comforted those that are cast down. When all else fails and all humanity seems to withdraw themselves from you, never forget that you have a loving God that will be there for you. And the times that you walk alone, God does not want you to walk alone, because he does not want you to forget that he is there for you. Sometimes I think that we rely too much on humanity. I preached, we had, of course, the youth yard sale on yesterday, and I don't know, I guess 40, 50, 60, I don't know how many, upward, maybe 70, I don't know, a bunch of young people and even some adults out there helping, and we normally average about 140 to 160, somewhere in that ballpark, out soul winning on Saturday mornings, and during the week with the other four opportunities soul winning, about 200, 210 soul winners that go out. And I looked around, and there was still a good gathering of about 100 people that was there, and thank God for that. But I preached about walking alone yesterday morning at 10 in our challenge. And as I preached about walking alone, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, "Woe unto him that walketh alone, for he hath not another to lift him up." Now, can I tell you, we live in a lone ranger type of environment in the U.S., I believe that the U.S., and please don't throw your shoe at me, your neighbor would appreciate you don't even take it off, because there might be a different type of odor that comes up from that. But I believe more than any other country possibly in the world that the U.S. is a very lonely place, because we live as isolationists. We really do. Everybody lives, and many people die to themselves. And that's why it's important to plug your family into a local church. Now, that's not the only, nor is it the major reason. But I see people all over, and they're very lonely people. They walk along, their kids have no friends, they have no friends. They live, and they almost die to themselves. And can I tell you, it ought not to be that way. We ought to decide that we take up that verse as being a personal verse, and not go against Scripture where it says, "No man liveth and no man dieth to himself." Well, don't take and go against that Scripture. You find ways to be able to reach out to somebody. You find ways to be able to help somebody. Do you know your neighbor? Does your neighbor know you? Do you know their names? Do they have children? How old are they? What are they like? Are they nice people? Rude people? Do they have dogs, cats, or other like animals? Who are they? Extend yourself to be able to help somebody and to encourage somebody. Look, he said, nevertheless, the Bible says, God comforteth, it says, those that are cast down. So you be somebody that allows God to comfort you. When you find yourself all alone, remember, you are not alone. If you try really hard, stand up. If you try really hard to go up to somebody, even in a church of this size, and you try really hard to go up to somebody and say, "Man, man, I tell you what, you look sharp, and I tell you what, man, I tell you, I would, I'd like to invite you out. Maybe you and your wife, my wife and I, invite you out for a meal sometime." And I go to shake his hand, and he snubs me, and he says, "Not interested." Now, can I tell you, you said that ought not happen in a church. I believe that. And I don't think we have such a church, especially if you ask him, he's going to go out to every meal you'll pay for. But at the same time, may I say, listen, we ought always to extend the hand first. We ought always to be the one that's friendly. Come on, we live in such a very disconnected society. Now, I'm not saying that you've got to be somebody that's always friendly to walk around with that big smile and, that's not normal. But I am saying this. I am saying that, hey, what would it hurt? What would it hurt just to go over and shake somebody's hand? Hey, my name is Mike. Your name is?
Mario.
Mario, man, great to see you. How long have you been coming here, Mario? Almost a year. Great, Mario. Where'd you come from?
The Valley.
Harlingen, right? Harlingen, Texas. Is this your wife? What's her name?
Mary.
Hey, that's a Bible name. That's really neat. You always been called Mary? All right. You can talk. You can strike up conversation. You can do that. See, why are you being so practical, preacher? Why? Because I think sometimes, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said that thou behavest thyself in the house of God. I believe sometimes we have such a disconnected family that sometimes there has to be practical teaching to be able to understand how are we supposed to behave ourselves among other people. Statement number next. Here's what we see. Look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, and I'm done. It says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, that the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Statement now asked, here it is. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing to be able to mortify the flesh? Isn't it amazing to be able to put that flesh to death in such a way that you could take and live to encourage somebody else along the way? Isn't that amazing? And so by doing, you can find your foundation truly in Jesus Christ. The Empire State Building was built in New York City in 1931. The people that built it extremely tall. Matter of fact, for a long time, it was an architectural type of design that nobody else could even begin to think about or even begin to copy. As you had two architects that came together by the name of Shreve and Lamb, and they came together and they designed such a building from the very top all the way down. And they thought, maybe a storm would take it down, and it didn't take it down. And in 1945, there was a B-25 bomber that was flying through the fog and flew directly into the side of the building. It didn't collapse. It did kill 14 people on contact, but it didn't collapse. Matter of fact, the very next Monday, they reopened the doors with smiling people outside welcoming them back into that Empire State Building. You know why they said? Because the foundation was very sure. And can I tell you, the foundation that we have in Christ ought to be very sure. The Bible talks about, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed in 2 Timothy 1:12. Nevertheless, my foundation is sure in Christ, and it's by God that I standeth sure in 2 Timothy 2:19. Our foundation can be sure, and when the neverthelesses come, we can rest assured that we are firm in Jesus Christ. I'll give you a personal thing, and then I'll shut it down as a last illustration. I remember when I received a phone call about my dear mother dying at the age of 54, and I remember knowing that she had cancer, knowing that she was sick, but I remember them getting into contact with us and my dear mother going home to be with the Lord. But I remember the day when Dr. Shelton Smith, Elder Sword, led my dear mother to Christ as he's out door knocking, and led my mother to Christ. And may I say, listen to me, I know that her foundation was solid in Christ. And because of that, there was a joy. I remember my daddy did not get saved for several years after that, and he also contracted cancer, and he was really getting weaker and weaker and was dying. I was always concerned about Daddy's salvation. And so I witnessed to Daddy. And many times Daddy rejected Jesus Christ. Many times. And I remember him telling me about one of his friends that had gone to, they went to a Catholic school together, and they came up together, and this friend, somehow or another, somebody gave him a portion of the gospel, and it just caused him to get hungry. And then somebody else gave him a portion of the gospel, and then this friend came back and sat down with him one night for about 2 to 3 hours, and they just started searching the scriptures, and this friend led him to Jesus Christ. I remember witnessing to my dad on that last time that I talked to him before he went home to be with the Lord and about Jesus Christ, and he gave me the affirmative, yes, I know it's Christ, I know it's Christ alone, and Michael, I want you to know that even if you don't make it, he said, I'm going. And I was so glad to hear that. Now, I remember my wife leading one of my brothers to Christ when we lived in Brooklyn, New York. And Joey came up to visit us when we lived in Brooklyn, New York for years. And my wife led one of my brothers to Christ on the sofa. And I remember Mark coming down and to see us get married. And I remember I was late for my own rehearsal because I was sitting down in a tree. And I guess my wife was figuring, he backed out. But I remember having Mark in my car, and we pulled up underneath a tree, a palm tree, and I had the privilege to lead Mark to Christ underneath an old palm tree. And I was after David for a long time. I wanted my older brother to get saved, and we just buried David last year. He died at age 57, and he was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And he also, of course, was a chronic smoker, and it just destroyed the lungs, and he contracted cancer. And I had a burden for David to get saved, and I never could lead David to Christ. But somebody led his son to Christ, Sean. And Sean led David to Christ. What a wonderful thing to be able to know that all of my immediate relatives are all saved. What a wonderful thing to know that, hey, every single one of them has bowed their hearts and every single one of them has asked Jesus Christ to be their personal Savior. So what if a nevertheless comes in their life where they don't make a right choice? At least one day they'll be in heaven because they've already made the one right choice of receiving Christ. What about you, Mr. Lord?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.